The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you about who deserves a shot at the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler, you're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason...
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but my goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds
different. Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious contenders.
How about hypnosis? Let's get thrown...
Psychosis?
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know...
Hello everyone and welcome to the Wrestlecast. This is episode 168. My name is Sam Kulinka and with me as always is the bottom of the Wrestlecast, Mr. Don DeLorenzo.
Good evening folks, welcome to the Wrestlecast.
And no young three sheets tonight, right there, Don?
Yeah, that's right. DD is hopefully safely in New Orleans as we speak, making good decisions for the rest of the weekend.
Not bad decisions, like that one dude who missed a tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
And with us is someone who's been on the show before, but I might not have been here when she was on, Miss Ashley. You're on mute if you're talking to us.
Hey, you guys. How are you?
All right.
We're good. Thank you for joining us again.
Thank you for having me.
No problem.
All right, Donald, do you have any news? Because I don't have anything in front of me.
Yes, news was flowing hot and heavy out of Stanford last Friday. As first and foremost, we had Paige. She will not be cleared by the WWE from her most recent injury, and basically she will be forced to retire from in-ring action. As you remember, she got drop-kicked by Sasha Banks like right after Christmas in the back of the head and like neck area and had to be carried out on a stretcher at a house show, and so she hasn't wrestled since. And basically her injury, they say, is something similar to that of Edge, where, you know, she takes, a bad bump. She will basically be paralyzed. So good luck to Paige in her future endeavors. Also on last Friday, Mark Henry officially retired from WWE. There is no word if he handed in his letter wearing the Salmon jacket or not. But good luck to Mark Henry. And, he's been working backstage as an agent and kind of, you know, helping sign guys, evaluating talent, scouting college, you know, wrestlers and things like that. So, hopefully Mark Henry, you know, continues to have a successful career behind the scenes, but his in-ring career is officially over. And last but not least, Ricochet, War Machine, and Candice LeRae all signed with NXT. So they're WWE employees now. And the Ricochet thing has been rumored for a long time, ever since he finally got released from his Lucha Underground contract. War Machine was a shock to me. I know they've been tearing it up in New Japan, but I didn't think that they were on WWE's radar. I thought, you know, ROH had them locked down, but they did not. And Candice LeRae, she actually had a really great showing in the Mae Young Classic. So it was a no-brainer that she would probably get signed. So... that's, part of the new crop coming to NXT.
Well, War Machine actually had let their contract expire with ROH. And that's when they went to New Japan.
Oh, okay. Well, bad move by ROH then.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, them versus, like, Killian Dane or somebody?
Yeah, it's definitely going to happen against Sanity here and the Bludgeon Brothers as well. Hopefully, as I say, that the Bludgeon Brothers are the great value version of War Machine.
Alrighty, so that's all you have for news. Oh, did you see the picture that someone tweeted of a Ricochet? Like an old picture of Ricochet in Triple H.
No.
Way back. It was so funny. Somebody says that, like, when he wins the title, they should use that picture instead.
Hopefully Ricochet is a heavyweight competitor and not a 205 liver. But even if he starts out as a 205 liver, he would definitely bring a lot of notoriety and put a lot of eyes on that show. So they might just do that just to build up some steam and then kind of branch them off from there.
So what name do you think they'll give them? Which iced tea movie can you use next?
That'll be very interesting. He may be able to keep it his own name. Yeah.
Like, what was that one where he was doing like skydiving and stuff? Drop Zone.
Drop Zone. Yeah. What's the one where they're hunting? They're hunting.
Oh, the Deadliest Game or something. No.
Yeah.
That was the name of the book it's based on, I think.
Yeah, can't use that one. Triple H already.
It was a Trespass, was it?
No, I don't think so. I think that's a different movie.
He can be, I don't know. It could be New Jack City or something. I don't know.
But yeah, so looking forward to what Ricochet can do in WWE. Of course, they're going to water him down a little bit. So, you know, if you want to see the best of Ricochet, you have to watch some of his work from New Japan or Lucha Underground or The Independents. But, you know, the biggest thing is, can he control the mic well enough to get over when he's not wrestling? So that's what we get to be seen.
This is going to bother me. Hold on, let me. Okay. Surviving the Game. That's the name of the movie. Where they go to the woods?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay, now we have, it's time for everyone's favorite show, Monday Night Raw. Bronny the Strowman comes down to cut a boring 20-minute promo. Before he can begin, though, Kurt Angle comes out and tells Braun that he messed up and cost the company money with all the equipment he broke. He says that Braun has created an unsafe working environment. Does Kurt work for, like, OSHA all of a sudden?
Yeah, man, you know, he's management. He's got to make sure that these things are, you know, safe.
Right. Is that what he was doing?
He's got to make sure people want to come to work.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I don't even know. That whole thing back there was, I mean, was just, it reminded me of like a little baby walking. It's for like the first steps, and the security was just like following around like they were afraid to touch him. Like, you know, it was just too funny.
So Braun pulls a Cartman and he's like, I do what I want. Kurt says he's fired, and then he just leaves the ring and that's it. So after commercial, the ringside goons show Braun the door and inform him that he must leave. This does not bode well for these young lions, and Braun makes short work of them, even going so far as to hurling one over like a pit. Like he got about as much air as one of the Singh brothers.
Oh yeah, I put in the live tweet who was Brock gonna make famous about tossing him 25 feet in the air.
You guys, he got one really high up. The other one not as high, but he really tossed him too. Braun says he's not leaving until everybody can see Tangents.
So how long on the t-shirt?
Oh, I'll give it another month.
Month? That's too long.
You see, Roshani already has his own version.
Oh, word?
Yeah, he has one to get these hands really. It's on his website.
Okay, yeah. I have to check that out.
So what do y'all think? A month, a few weeks? You know, it takes Vince a little while to get going.
Yeah, it'll probably be out in the next couple. Probably, I'd say maybe by the Rumble, you'll see people wearing them. It'll be like they're available for purchase. You watch.
First, someone will have to explain it to Vince McMahon what that is.
Just explain it to him in this way. It makes money, Vince.
Yeah, that's all he has. Here's money. He'll be right on it.
Let's get started. Let's take a look. The Bar versus Titus Worldwide.
Worldwide?
Last week, Titus and Apollo beat The Bar. That was last week, right? Because these all run together for me.
Yes, sir. That was last week.
So, because it's WWE and they do 50-50 booking, I really thought they were going to lose. But then Jason Jordan comes out for some reason. And Sheamus is distracted. Everybody take a drink. And Apollo rolls him up for the victory. Seth Rollins comes out to chide the young man. Did y'all see this coming? I really, really thought they were going to do. They were going to go 50-50.
Nope, didn't see it coming. But good for Titus Worldwide. Dana Brooke writing down W's instead of L's in her stat book.
I mean, yeah, I was shocked. I mean, I figured, you know, The Bar would win. I was very shocked. I was like, oh, okay.
On Reddit, Terry Reynolds actually gave Dana Brooke her blessing to use what she feels is like the Alexandra York character.
Anybody who knows anything about Alexandra York can clearly see it.
Well, apparently, Donald, there are 20-year-olds on the internet. We talked about this earlier.
Right. All she's missing is she has like a notepad instead of the computer.
Instead of like the big Halliburton.
Right. And the computer. Remember Alexandra York? The computer
was in the Halliburton.
Oh, right. It was in the Halliburton. Right.
Okay, so Braun the Strowman is still wandering around backstage. He kicks in Kurt Angle's office and tears it up. After commercial, we're in catering. The guy in the suit comes out and hollers, Omar coming. No, I'm kidding. Braun is coming. Braun Strowman comes out, flips the table. They eat the chunk of chocolate cake that was being held by, I guess, one of the cooks.
Yeah, if Kurt Hawkins only knew all he had to do was offer the man a piece of cake, he might not have had such a rough night.
And for those who were like into the whole woke conspiracy, it was chocolate cake, just say. Like Seattle Slim is like, he must have been reading some like Black Panther or something. Listening to some of the roots. Alright, so Enzo segment ran out. Once I awake from my voluntary coma, I see that Kurt Angle wants to know what happened in his office. He calls Braun a wild elephant and says he has no choice but to call in the SWAT team. So referee John Cone barges in and tells Kurt that Braun is headed toward the production truck. Kurt freaks out, mentioning that they're worth $12 million apiece. Braun Strowman heads toward the truck. He asks the guy, what does this button do? He tries to fit through a door, but temporarily gets stuck. Did y'all see that?
I did.
No, I didn't see that part, no.
Yeah, he tries to go through like one of the little like doorways, but then his shoulders are too wide. He's just like, boom. So he wants to know what everything does. He yells at the staff. And for a second, I thought he was going to announce everyone that might try for pot pies in Mountain Valley. Like Kevin Nash.
Remember that,
right, Don?
But I did have a good laugh. That was good and funny.
Okay, so where am I? Braun leaves. Everyone gets back to work. Braun gets in the truck that's pulling the trailer and then tries to flip the truck. Kurt interrupts him, telling him to get out. Braun leaves and he comes back to actually flip the truck with multiple camera angles and lots of smoke and mirrors.
Didn't somebody do that before, though? Didn't Mark Henry flip a truck or Big Show? Somebody flipped a truck before, didn't they?
I don't remember, Don.
Braun flipped the ambulance.
Maybe it was. I could have sworn Mark Henry or Big Show did something like when they're both heels and they're. I just remember Michael Cole screaming, "Oh my god!" You know how Michael Cole is, but like somebody flipped a truck before. I know it. Maybe if I go back and look,
probably
and see.
Happened. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like something that they do. You know, they like to repeat shit over and over,
mm-hmm. and then act like it's the first time it ever happened.
So Braun continues to run around in the back. He comes out on the comes out to the stage, approaches the commentary team, heads towards them. Booker T in an act of self-preservation. Pulling the arms away.
Oh, that was great.
Is that what I think I saw, or did he just like did he just look like that?
No, he did. He did.
He knocked he was getting away and he knocked Michael Cole down. Michael Cole was in his way.
Cole gets dragged before Kurt stops him and tells him he's called off the cops, and also he says he just got off the phone with Stephanie. And she has reinstated him as long as he lets Michael Cole go. Cole crawls around for a bit as Braun starts to leave. Braun picks him up and throws him like a lawn dart into a crowd of young dudes. Let's see here. Hold on.
Tom Phillips came out to replace him.
No, I was looking at a funny, stupid tweet. Never mind. I'll explain it to you. After commercial, Tom Phillips, that dirty bird, is in Michael Cole's spot. Nia Jax versus Asuka. Asuka goes to attack Nia, but Nia flings her away. Asuka tries again, but Nia uses her size and strength to keep Asuka at bay. Asuka tries a submission move, but that doesn't work. She goes back to launching Asuka around. After commercial, Nia has Asuka in a bear hug. Asuka makes a temporary comeback, but Nia gets the upper hand again. Asuka busts out the yes kicks, but Nia is able to powerbomb her. Nia picks up Asuka for another powerbomb, but Asuka is able to roll her into a knee bar. Nia reaches the ropes. Asuka kicks Nia in the leg as she's on the ring steps. What was that? That looked like it really hurt.
Yeah, it's supposed to look like it really hurt.
My God. Yeah. I mean, was someone her size falling down like that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
She makes it back into the ring before the 10 count, but she's too hurt, and Asuka wins via ref stoppage. Good match, only because Asuka is a master at idiot-proofing matches.
And it's your favorite. It's your favorite. The ref stoppage for
too much ass.
Exactly.
Alexa comes out after the match to see what's happening with her BFF. Kurt is in his office trying to pick up the pieces. Jason Jordan teleports out of nowhere. He thanks Kurt for all he's done. Kurt says he has a lot on his mind. Jason says he wants to help his buddy Seth bounce back from his loss last week. He volunteers a match for him and then chooses Finn as Seth's opponent. Nia Jax backstage icing her knee with Alexa, and so appears that I hit fast forward. The Revival versus local competitors. The Revival is in the ring against a couple of jobbers. I think there are a couple of Booker T students, only because Booker T actually acknowledged them.
One of them is Bayley's boyfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or fiance. Yeah.
Let's see here. The Revival hits the Shadow Machine, and that's all she wrote. Dasha interviews the Revival after the match. Now, the bald one asks if Dasha is sure she wants to give them a live mic. They talk about being students of the game, tag team wrestling, not checking their Instagram or running to the back to play video games. Dasha asks them which legend in the game they're looking forward to seeing next week. Now, the one with hair says there's something old school about beer bats and cross chops. They're not sports entertainers, they're professional wrestlers. So expect them to get buried by all the legends next week.
I honestly think they'll just get, they're definitely getting stunned. I mean, that's pretty much in their future. They're going to get Stone Cold stunned, definitely. I see it happening.
That would suck. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully they do something different since we're all expecting it.
Oh, remember when Raw 1000, what's his name? Sandow got beat up by DX.
Yeah, and then Heath Slater got beat up by a whole bunch of legends.
I forgot.
The Ascension got beat up by a whole bunch of legends.
Yeah, I was not that Raw. They got beat up by NWO and like AP and somebody else. Hulk Hogan.
New Age Outlaws.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Let's see.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping, I mean, because me being a big Shawn Michaels fan, I don't, you know, I hope they use him for more than just to come out and beat up, you know, I would hope, but who knows? We'll see. And I happen to like the Revival too, so yeah.
Nice. All right, so the goddamn director is wandering around backstage. He's going to sing a song or something.
Watch your mouth.
We do not all.
We walk.
Did you see what Finn said? When they asked, like, who wants to walk with Elias? Finn said, I just want to walk.
That man needs to get what's happening. But yes, here on the WrestleCast, again, hashtag we walk with Elias.
Don walks with Elias. Okay, so he's going to sing a song or something. Miz and the Mistourage come out. Miz talks and talks. Now, this is something that y'all might not get, only because I don't think y'all seen this movie yet. But Bo Dallas looks like he's wearing Supreme Leader Snoke's smoking jacket from The Last Jedi. The nerds in the crowd will get that. So Miz announces that he's going to have his own reality show on USA. He wants the Intercontinental Championship from Roman Reigns. Roman comes out. Apparently he's there to have a handicap match. Roman Reigns versus the Mistourage. Miz keeps trying to distract Roman. Mistourage gets the upper hand because of Miz. Roman makes a comeback as only Roman can. Roman gets ready for a Superman punch, but Miz tries to distract him. Bo Dallas tries to get Roman, but Roman ain't no dummy. He Superman punches Axel, then dives onto Miz and Dallas. He tries to toss Miz into the ring, but Axel tries to roll him up, and puts an oval, gets a two count. Roman spears him against the W. Thoughts? No? Nothing?
Oh, go ahead, Don.
Oh, no, ladies first.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, considering the news that supposedly broke yesterday, I don't know. I think Miz may be walking out with the IC title next week. Just saying.
What's the news?
Apparently, there's a rumor going on. It was on TMZ today, too. Roman is allegedly part of some steroid distribution ring. He was named as one of the clients for some guy. So.
Dang. Maybe.
Yeah. So that could affect next week's match. I mean, so
that could affect more than next week's match.
Right. Yeah, well, true,
but, you know, because they're talking about Booker, Brock. They're talking about Brock versus Roman.
Yeah. So.
Look at you holding back during the news segment.
Well, I was on mute, and I mean, it literally, Bleacher Report put it up yesterday. I thought, I don't know, I thought you guys knew, because it was on last night, and TMZ broke it this morning. So I was like, oh, that's not good.
No, not good at all. So good luck to Brian.
Here on the WrestleCast.
Yeah, hope his lawyers are on the case.
So, yeah, that I definitely think that'll affect next week, and like you said, probably WrestleMania. just a hunch.
All right, so Sasha Banks versus Sonya Deville. Okay, so I will say that Sonya Deville has improved since the last time I saw her. But however, I will not have Booker T say that she can compare her to Ken Shamrock. That's not going to happen.
What about Steve Blackman?
No, That's no.
Steve Whiteman was a legit fighter, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Playing on TV.
Nah, he was legit.
Yeah, the way he was like throwing them sticks, yeah. All right, so Sasha steps up to the second turnbuckle and tries to dive on the Sonya. Sonya gets up, kicks her in the tummy, and that's apparently enough to put Sasha down for the three count. So let's see. Matt Hardy versus Heath Slater. Welcome, Matt. It's just going to town on poor Heath. Remember, he's got kids. He tries to leave, but Rhino talks him out of it. He gives Matt an arm wringer, but Hardy bites his hand like away from the official. Matt gives him a side effect, but he kicks out, gives Heath a twist of fate, and that's all she wrote.
When is Jeff supposed to be returning? Around WrestleMania, right?
Oh, he might be missing that, because I think it's his shoulder, so that's like 9 months. It hasn't been three, I think.
He's on tour like with his band.
Yeah, but he's also hurt for real, though.
Yeah, he had surgery. I guess he had put it off for so long, he finally decided to have it or something, but I was just curious.
Yeah, so this is all you got, Ash.
I can't, I've never been a Matt Hardy fan. I've always been a Jeff fan, so it's good for him with this whole character, but I'm kind of over it. So, I think, too, the fact that TNA was kind of dragging their feet about the whole broken character, and I think that's, I think they waited, the WWE waited too long. I think that's,
I know you just want to see the return of Weed with three E's.
Well, I don't want Brother Nero. I'm okay with Brother Nero not returning. I'm hoping when he returns, he's just Jeff Hardy, not Brother Nero. But knowing WWE, he'll be Brother Nero when he comes back.
Remember how this all started with them making that weird video, them throwing a baby?
Yeah, it's just.
We need the other characters, though. We need the Senor Benjamin. We need the Vanguard One. We see, that's the thing. It wasn't just Matt Hardy by himself. It was the whole thing that made that so good or whatever. It was the camp, how campy it was. It was how over the top it was. It was the comedy. It was like a whole package. It wasn't just Matt Hardy doing this weird thing.
I'm still laughing at them fighting outside of the antique store. And then, what's his name, pointing inside, look, I see your merch in there.
Yeah, I mean, it was little things like that, stick out that made that work for TNA. WWE doesn't get it. They just think, oh, it's Matt Hardy doing a crazy voice with his haircut funny,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's see here. So Goldberg is the first inductee this year in the Hall of Fame. Thoughts?
I mean, good for him. I mean, he I guess you could say, I've never really been a big Goldberg fan either, but he was undefeated in WCW. He does deserve it, but I guess I'd be shocked if they would, announce China as an inductee. I know that's never going to happen, but if it was somebody I care about, maybe I'd, but still holding out. Holding out for China, but I doubt that's not going to happen, but too much history there, but
It was cool. I mean, they got to have a headliner, somebody to, make this an attraction and bring people to that Hall of Fame gathering and, make it look good for those 3 hours that it's going to be broadcast on the network. And Goldberg, for sure, is definitely a headliner. And like you said, he deserves it. I mean, his career in WCW definitely kept them going afloat probably, a year or two longer than they probably should have been, considering how the NWO has kind of played out at that point, but he was still so hot, he had them still watchable. So yeah, I think he deserves it. Good for him.
Alrighty. Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins. This is a rematch of the first ever Universal Championship match. Let's see here. Seth hit Finn with a blockbuster. Has he been doing that lately, or is this a new thing that he's doing?
Nah, he's been doing that.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, I've not been watching. So yeah. It's too bad because Buff can't do it anymore. Because he can't be taking bumps anymore. He still wrestles, but he just doesn't bump around like he used to.
Right. He's got a bad stack of dimes.
Right. Let's see. Balor hits a sling blade. Seth counters with a super kick. Seth hits Finn with an enziguri. Finn is out. That's where my DVD died. Apparently, Seth gave Finn a curb stomp, which is, mm-hmm. Did they even mention that it was a bad move, or did they not bring it up at all?
No. It just literally, I think, well, no, Corey Graves was calling it the blackout. I guess that's what they called it in when he was in NXT, right? The blackout?
Mm-hmm.
So they just kind of played it off. But I mean, literally Twitter, my Twitter feed blew up. I jumped out of bed. I mean, it was like Christmas. It was the best thing ever because you didn't expect it. And it was, I mean, the curb stomp was such a great move and it sucked that it got banned. And it was such a great part of Seth's moveset. And the fact that, you know, he has it again, it was like kind of when they banned it, he kind of was lost. He didn't know, you know, and now that it's back, I'm so happy. I mean, it sucks that it happened to be on Finn, who I love, but it was great. So great.
So apparently Jason Jordan grabbed Finn's leg or something while he was on the turnbuckle. I don't know.
Okay, so basically he throws, Finn hits the ropes, Jason Jordan trips him up, he falls, and then when he's trying to get up, that's when Seth comes and gives him the curb stomp.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that, like, the WrestleMania was retconned? Because I had a WrestleMania comic book from when Seth won the title. You know how he won it with the curb stomp, right? Mm-hmm. In the WrestleMania comic book, he won it with the pedigree.
Right, because they were worried about the PR for the... the next morning when you're doing the rounds of the, media tour, they didn't want to have that move be the, signature move everybody saw.
This is like the comic book, which came out months later.
Right, but they didn't show it. They didn't even show it when he did the PR either. Yeah, because, so that's the reason why. That's one of the reasons why he had to change it during his championship run.
Posted to the WrestleCast. I had added the WrestleCast Twitter page earlier when I saw this these two clips side by side. One happened on like the live event, and the next happened on the replay like a few days later when Roman got beat up by Kevin Owens. They showed a fan cheering when this happened in the live one, but in the replay they showed him like upset. Like at the moment when it happens, like they cut to the fan in the live version. The fan's like happy that Roman got beat up. But somehow they had a camera on a lot. And so I guess they got a moment when he was upset and they edited that into it instead of him being happy. So basically, they turned this fan into a Roman Reigns fan.
I mean, that's Vince and Kevin Dunn working the power of post.
But like that guy was actually online talking about it. He's like, one year ago today, WWE made me a Roman Reigns fan. But it was just so weird just looking at that. I was just like, wait a minute. That's not
right. Hey man, if they can get their hands on it before they can air it, they can do anything in the world to sweeten it up.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty, so now I guess we can move on to what we're doing next.
SmackDown from Laredo, Texas. I'll be the SmackDown Matters correspondent this week, filling in for Didi Jonet. We'll throw a toast in the air for her as she's resuming her drinking this weekend. So watch out, New Orleans.
Oh yeah, she said she forgot she wasn't drinking when she ordered that old fashioned.
Well, she's done good, so she deserves.
By the way, I am out for right now, so I will see y'all later.
All right. You got a shout outs or anything? Direct people to your article that you wrote about your women.
I had a website years ago when I was in high school. Like it was my name, SamuelKalunga.com. And I killed it around 2001 because that's when I started like working full time. And I just didn't have time anymore. And so I shuttered the site. And now I guess it's time to open it 17 years later. So, so now I'm just writing articles on there and stuff. So, SamuelKalunga.com. Check out the blog that's on there. I might even post this review on there for the and make like a weekly Raw report. So, if I do that, just check that out. That's all the shout-outs I have. Shout-out to Lady Nikki as well out there. And that is it. See y'all later.
All right, Sam. Have a good one.
Have a good one.
SmackDown Matters starts with the New Day. They make their way to the ring, and Xavier Woods is here to win the U.S. title, spread the power of positivity, and the principle of pancakes. The ingredients are strong by themselves, but much like the U.S., when you put them together, they are even stronger. Xavier asks for support of the fans so he can defeat Jinder Mahal tonight. The Singh brothers arrive, and they introduce Jinder Mahal. Any thoughts about that little opening segment there, Miss Ashley?
Not really. I just New Day with the pancakes. I don't know. I just keep going back to the, I don't know if you saw the Instagram video with Big E working out with Carmella and she had pancakes in each hand. Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
So we have Jinder Mahal versus Xavier Woods, U.S. title tournament semifinal match. The New Day chases off the Singhs, and then Woods hits a belly to back suplex. Woods heads up top, but to do his rope walk elbow drop, but he misses. Jinder then sends Woods to the ropes, throat first, and then he hits the Colossus, and Jinder Mahal gets the win and advances to the finals. I think Floyd, there was a slight sliver of hope there for Xavier. He basically fought for underneath this whole match. It was basically Jinder Mahal like grinding him out, and yeah. He had one little sliver, but he missed his signature move, and then from then on, it was just like, oh man.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping Xavier would win, but I knew deep down that Jinder was going to win because, yeah.
So we have Renee Young. She's interviewing AJ Styles. AJ talks about his handicap match at the Royal Rumble, noting that it's 3-on-1 because Kevin counts as two people. He then runs down Sammy and Kevin and calls them Cammy. He's faced and overcome challenges his entire career, and he will end the Yep movement. This ain't the Cammy show. This is the house that Didi Jonet built. So then we get some quick thoughts from the women in the Royal Rumble match. What'd you think about the selfie video interview?
That was so bad. It was, well, and yeah, they were doing it with the men too, but I was just like, I mean, it was bad. It was kind of bad. I'm not gonna lie. So
we have Bobby Roode versus Mojo Rawley in our second United States title tournament semifinal match. Mojo works over Bobby Roode in the corner and goes for the knockout shot. But Bobby Roode counters and hits the spine buster. Roode hits the glorious DDT and gets the win. The Singh brothers arrive and beat down Bobby Roode. Jinder Mahal then promises to end Roode and win the U.S. title. Roode grabs the mic and says they can do the finals tonight. They don't have to wait till next week. Jinder refuses, then Daniel Bryan arrives and books the finals for tonight. So it was slated for the Royal Rumble. Then they overbooked the Royal Rumble, so they said that it would happen on the next week, SmackDown. And then they come on SmackDown and then say, nope, it's going to happen tonight. So what do you think about all this card subject to change?
I'm not surprised. It happens every year. It seems like they overbook the Royal Rumble or, well, any pay-per-view, and then they have to kind of be like, okay, well, we lied. This was going to be next week, but we'll just, you know, we'll put it on tonight. So I'm not surprised. And, well, I mean, how long is the Women's Royal Rumble supposed to be? Like an hour, right?
It should be.
Okay. Oh, wait, and how the Rumble's what, 5 hours? I heard 5 hours. Is that true?
With pre-show included, yes, it's probably going to be more like six because there's going to be like a two-hour pre-show and then at least a three-hour Rumble. So yeah, five and a half, I guess.
Oh my god, I remember the days when pay-per-views were an hour. Well, now two, not six. That's just crazy. I feel bad for the people in Philly that have to sit there for 6 hours. Oh my god, it's horrible.
We have Charlotte Flair, Naomi, and Becky versus the Riot Squad. Naomi runs wild, laying in her speedball kicks and then an enziguri to Liv Morgan. Naomi hits the high cross and then gets a two, but everything starts to break down. Ruby Riot cheap shots Naomi with the Riot kick, and that allows Liv to hit her finisher and pick up the win. It's always a sad day when Naomi has to take the fall.
Yeah, that, and I don't know. I feel like the women's division on SmackDown has just kind of lost its luster. You know, like it was really hot for a while, and now it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like it's not really hot. Like I said, it's lost its luster, so to speak. So that upsets me because I liked the SmackDown women's division more than I liked the Raw women's division. So it's kind of,
I think, kinda, Natty's little run with the championship kind of messed them up.
Cooled it down. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I agree. Time. Yep. Yep.
And they haven't teased Carmella enough. Like cashing in, or at least making her like a player enough, a big enough threat to where, you know, her storyline is worth anything. So yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from with that. The Usos, they're interviewed about their 2 out of 3 falls match at the Royal Rumble versus Benjamin and Shelton and Chad Gable. Excuse me. They mock Gable and Benjamin and plan to retain the titles at Rumble. Gable and Benjamin attack them and lay out the champions. And then they say they know exactly who the Usos are, the former champions. Because the Usos did a little mocking of them talking about they didn't know which one was the right one. And then they kind of, you know, did the twin thing back and forth like, oh, you're me, I'm you. No, I'm me, you. So that was pretty good. Then we get Rusev Day. They challenge the Fashion Police to a match next week. But the Fashion Police says, nope, Rusev Day will face the Ascension instead.
The Ascension look actually scared. Like what happened to the Ascension?
Well, I mean, after that beating they took by the Bludgeon Brothers last week, I guess.
Yeah, that was pretty bad last week. I was like, geez.
Yes, they're a little gun shy. So we have our main event of the evening. We have Jinder Mahal versus Bobby Roode for the United States title. Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan are at ringside. Jinder fights off the DDT and cradles Bobby Roode for a two count. Roode catches Mahal with the spine buster. Mahal looks for the Colossus, but Bobby Roode counters that into the glorious DDT and wins the title. Shane and Daniel Bryan present Bobby Roode with the U.S. Championship. And that's how your show ends this week on SmackDown.
I'm very happy for Bobby.
Yes, yes. A glorious moment for Bobby. I know Dee Dee Jonet is very happy that her United States champion is the glorious one. But this was a rather weak SmackDown. Mm-hmm. One of the weaker efforts on SmackDown they've had in a long, long time. So, you know, there's no...
Yeah, it's... Well, hopefully, I mean, with the Rumble being... was next Sunday. Well, not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Maybe hopefully they, you know, have a really good show before the Rumble. But I mean, with the 25th anniversary being on Monday, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what SmackDown does before the Rumble.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a hard sell for them coming up, trying to follow the 25th anniversary of Raw with all that nostalgia and star power from the past that's going to be on that mm-hmm. show. And so,
yeah, you forgot to mention too the male selfies for the Rumble. Randy had one.
Oh, yeah.
Shinsuke had a really weird one, which was funny.
yeah, I don't know. I guess they're trying to like capitalize off the Mojo Rawley thing, but they should just let him do him because he did it better than everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, Baron did one too. Yeah, it was just, I don't know.
Yeah, so. Well, at this point, I just want to let you know that this episode of the WrestleCast is being brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron provides fresh ingredients and incredible recipes delivered weekly to your door. Skip the grocery store and make incredible meals at home with Blue Apron. Always ship free or right to your home. And now the listeners of the WrestleCast can get $30 off your first Blue Apron order. To place your first order with $30 off and to help keep our show free, go to our website, cspn.us, then click on Keep Our Podcast Free. And then from there, scroll down to Blue Apron, click the link, and sign up for your first order. So Blue Apron through cspn.us, do it today. Final review is going to be for NXT, as we had Tino Sabatelli and Riddick Moss versus Heavy Machinery. Tucker Knight tags in, and he runs wild on Moss and Sabatelli, hitting a dropkick. Tucker follows with a corner splash, then he hits a hip toss. Moss then gets the cradle with his feet on the ropes, and Moss and Sabatelli pick up the win. I like Heavy Machinery, but I also like Sabatelli and Moss, and they're actually trying to win me over with these little hill tactics that they be doing to win their matches. They got some arrogance to them, a lot of swag, so
yeah,
this is a good opening match.
I like Tino. I do like Tito Sabatelli, and I'm glad to see him on TV, well, on NXT finally. So I'm waiting for him, and I'm glad he's on there, so. I haven't really been watching NXT, I'm not going to lie. I think the last time I watched NXT was probably the TakeOver when Ember Moon won.
Oh, well, this is like a perfect time to like catch up on it because yeah. We're coming up on TakeOver again. The Undisputed Era says that TakeOver is all about them. Cole promises to beat Aleister Black, while O'Reilly and Fish say they will retain the titles no matter their opponents. We have Roderick Strong versus Fabian Aichner. Aichner fights and follows with uppercuts, and then Aichner hits a backbreaker. Aichner springboards right into a backbreaker, and then Roddy locks in the stronghold, a.k.a. the Lion Tamer, for the submission win. After the match, Roddy says that there is a force he wants to destroy, and he calls out Lars Sullivan. And it isn't the smartest move. I guess he hasn't seen Lars Sullivan's movies. Fabian Aichner with another good match. He's definitely got a bright future. He puts on pretty good matches, so maybe once he starts getting a push, mm-hmm. you know, he can get some really good shine. But I really like him. Next, we get a video package on TM61. is showing us highlights from their past matches and both guys discussing their relationship as tag team partners. They've been out of action for around a year, and they talk about how Harley Race helped them get their tryout, but they weren't ready and headed off to Japan and Pro Wrestling Noah. This was like part one of part two, so we'll get part two next week. We have Lacey Evans versus Aaliyah. Aaliyah fires back with forearms, uppercuts, and then hits a clothesline off the second rope. Aaliyah hits the Northern Light suplex and gets a two count. Lacey Evans hits a jawbreaker, and then Aaliyah charges and runs into a big right hand. Aaliyah is out, and Lacey Evans picks up the win. After the match, Lacey Evans calls out the rest of the women's division. She calls some trash and says it's time for a proper and powerful woman to clean house. And she'll start with Nikki Cross, Ember Moon, and Kairi Sane. Then Shayna Baszler arrives, and of course, Lacey Evans bails to the back. Shayna Baszler then goes to the ring, and she attacks Aaliyah, and she chokes her out. Ember Moon arrives and runs Shayna Baszler off. Ember says if Baszler wants to bully somebody, try it with her. Ember wants to do it right now, but Baszler says she'll do it when it's for the title. Moon tells her to name the time and the place, and she'll beat her ass. Baszler says, take over Philly and bring the title.
Oh, jeez. Does that mean Ember's going to lose it already? She hasn't had it that long, right?
No, she hasn't. Hopefully not. Hopefully she will get at least one defense out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this
well, considering, I mean, she was chasing Asuka for so long, too. I mean, dang, they can't have her have a nice little run with the title for a few months. Jeez.
Right. And it was a really smooth move by Shayna Baszler to goad her into this title match where Ember called her out. So it would be kind of the upstanding thing to do for the babyface to, you know, come out victorious since they're calling out the heels. So we'll see.
Right.
Stephen Regal then makes the match, Ember Moon versus Baszler for TakeOver, when Zelina Vega arrives and says Johnny Gargano has no chance at TakeOver. She says that Velveteen Dream deserves a shot more than Johnny Gargano, and Johnny Gargano should have to put his title shot on the line. Regal says that he would not advise Johnny to do that, so Zelina Vega continues to run Johnny Gargano down, calling him a sham. We get a video telling us that No Way Jose will return next week. Johnny Gargano hits the ring, and he says that he heard what Zelina Vega had to say. He knows what people are saying about him, that they doubt him and his ability to beat Almas. He says that he is not broken, he is not a loser, and he is not a fluke. This is his time, his opportunity, and no one will stop him. He says next week, he will put his title shot on the line against Velveteen Dream. Gargano says he knows who he is. He is Johnny freaking Wrestling, and he is the next NXT champion. This was a really good promo. Johnny Wrestling was fired up, had the people really behind him. So, yeah, this was going to be a really fun next week. Johnny Wrestling and Velveteen Dream. Can't wait. And we have our main event, the Authors of Pain versus the Street Profits in a number one contenders match for the NXT tag team titles. Dawkins tags in and runs wild with drop kicks and clotheslines. The Street Profits hit the Doomsday Dropkick Spinebuster combo for a near fall. Paul Ellering calls for the end, and the AOP hit the Super Collider and then hit the Last Chapter on Montez Ford. And the Authors of Pain get the win and advance to face Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish at NXT TakeOver Philly for the NXT Tag Team Championships. Probably a little too soon for the Street Profits to be the number one contenders. I hate that their losing streak had to, you know, end in this fashion, because Montez Ford really took an ass whooping in this match. He basically was the Ricky Morton. He basically took the ass whooping, made the hot tag, and then got beat at the end too. So, yeah, rough night for our boy Montez Ford. But at least the Street Profits, they had some new gear, some icy white gear. They came out to the ring in looking good. So first step to being a champion is looking like a champion. So they got that part covered. So that was this week in NXT. And in the mixed match challenge, Sasha Banks got Natalya to tap out to the bank statement. So the Boss Club, Finn Balor, and Sasha Banks advanced as they defeat Shinsuke Nakamura and Natty. So,
yes, very happy.
That is basically everything that went down on WWE TV this week, excluding 205. TJ Perkins was crying. So if you want to check that out, you can check that out on your own devices. So at this
wasn't the mix match challenge in 205 Live around the same time, right?
The mix match challenge happens before 205 Live, and 205 Live was down to like 25 minutes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. So they kind of did a combination type of thing. So, again, the hashtag for that, if you guys are going to be live tweeting the mixed match challenge, is Mixed Cast Matters. So that's the hashtag. So, Ashley, at this time, I'll open it up to you for your thank yous and shout outs.
I just want to thank you guys for having me on again. So, sorry that I had to come in so late and everything, but I enjoy talking to you guys last time, so it was a pleasure being on the show again. So I miss Dee Dee, and I will, you know, cuss her out on Twitter when I get a chance later, but that's all right.
I'd like to thank our guest Ashley for joining us again. Thank you for being able to come on, talk a little wrestling.
Thank you.
I'd like to give a shout out to Sam being able to give us his raw report as only he can. Give a shout out to Greg. Give a shout out to Dee Dee. Safe travels. Have fun at the wedding. Good luck to your brother and his new wife and, you know, their life together. Shout out to the chairman for all the work he's going to do for putting together the podcast and a parting promo later. Shout out to Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Shout out to all the podcasters here on CSPN, everybody who puts in the work to, you know, bring all the great shows that make up the network each and every week. So thank you guys for all the hard work that y'all put in. I'd like to give a shout out to The Glow, and also give a shout out to everybody who shows up in the SmackDown Matters and the Rawcast live tweets each and every week. So for Samuel Kalunga and our special guest, Miss Ashley, I'm Don DeLaRente, and this has been episode 168 of the WrestleCast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
And Vince, I know you're back there, and I know you can hear me. Vince, I want you to come down here, and I will bestow the honor upon you. I will give you that honor to reveal the greater power to the entire world. Because, Vince, I can't wait to see your face. How about it, Vince? What do you say? What do you say, Vince?
Shane, I say I'm close enough right where I stand, right here and now. I say the games are over, Shane. I say the evil, demonic SOB show his face to the world now.
My God, JR, who is it? Here we go!
Who could it be?
Wait a minute. Whoa.
That's his daughter, Stephanie, and his wife, Linda.
Stephanie, Linda, what are you doing here?
Dad,